Will you join me in prayer, please? Oh, loving God, God who has brought saints into our lives, God who holds us and strengthens us and inspires us. God, we thank you for opening our hearts to you in this time. Amen. So here we are on All Saints Day. Fig, you undid me. From the moment that you stood up, thank you. Thank you for that. Let's give Fig a round of applause. I'm glad you chose to survive, even if it meant I had to cry in the kids' message and cry in the sermon. I am so grateful that you shared that with us. I'm grateful that we are not honoring you as someone on this table, but as someone in this congregation. Thank you. So how do we honor the people that we love? What is this honor thing? The Bible is full of this idea of honor that isn't about honoring others, but about gaining honor. It's this whole thing of honor and shame, the culture, the cultural context in which these scriptures were written. And yet, here we are talking about honoring. Honoring not as a thing, a noun, a thing that we gain as honor, but we talk about honoring as a verb. So how do we honor people? The people on this table, the people in our hearts, the people who we miss every day, how do we honor them? Sometimes we honor them by being deeply sad. Sometimes we honor them by not being able to get out of bed in the morning, right? But is that how we want to be honored when it's our turn? My suggestion is that we honor them with love. We honor them by always loving them. We honor them by loving others, and we honor them by loving ourselves. We love them. We honor this love because we love the ways that they improved our world. And when we love ourselves, when we take on that responsibility, right? It's a responsibility. When someone who loves you dies, you get all this extra work. Because all that love that they gave you, you've got to figure out how to give it to yourself so that it overflows from you and you can share it with everyone else. That is how we honor them. When the people we love most leave this world, we have such an important job. And when we feel like we can't even get out of bed in the morning, we need to remember that we have an important job, and that job is love. We can't let that fall through the cracks, right? When someone dies, there's all this stuff to do. There's a memorial service or a funeral. There's all the people to contact. There's all the stuff. And sometimes we forget about the love part. We forget about the most important part. Because people might leave us things. They might leave us objects. Some of those objects are right here on this table. But when we hold on to those objects that people have left with us, we are not just holding on to a thing that they touched, it's a reminder of love, because that is what matters most. And Jesus said a lot of good stuff about love. And in this passage, which is known as the Sermon on the Plain, it's the much less popular cousin to the Sermon on the Mount, we hear the blessings and the woes, right? We hear the happies and the not-so-greats. But this is telling us something important about honor and shame. Blessed are you who are poor, yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. This isn't just honoring people who are suffering. This is turning the culture of honor and shame on its head. A culture in which everything was governed by what people think about you. Thank goodness it's not like that anymore. That's a joke. Honor and shame was a calculation. It was based on things like how you ate and who you ate with. We hear about this a lot in the Bible, right? Jesus talking about turning this on its head. What you wore, how you associated with people, who you associated with. All social interactions were based on honor and shame, bringing shame to yourself and your family. Honor was attained by avoiding shame. And we still live with that legacy. And when I talk about shame, it's not just like embarrassment. And honor isn't just about pride. This is about life or death. Your social standing in the ancient Near East was about survival based on this concept of honor and shame. It's so pervasive in Scripture that we almost don't see it, right? The thing that is the biggest in front of us is the thing that can often be hardest to see. So now we know, when we hear these kinds of statements, that this is about telling the people who have been told they do not possess honor that they are the honored ones. Honor could be gained in this time. Honor could be gained in many ways. The most important one was being the son, intentionally saying son, obviously, of an important person, right? Not the daughter. Certainly not the ambiguously gendered child. The son of an important person. That person will have more worth in the eyes of society. And one's background, one's ethnicity, where they're from, what they know, what they have learned, where they have studied, all of those increased one's worth and thus their honor. We haven't come very far in that regard. Some other ways to increase your honor was by praying. It's not that God gave you more honor, but by being seen praying. Fasting, again, other people seeing you fasting. Giving money to the poor in a super flashy way. Here's my money. Then people would say, oh, you are an honored person. This, again, was about survival, not just about getting invited to the right parties and knowing the right people. This was about how people coped with their society. And if you were ill, if you had a sickness, if you had a physical weakness, if you appeared to be weak, shame. Shame was what shaped their lives. Those who were marginalized, those who were poor, those who did not have the resources that they needed, those who did not have food and had to beg, all of these were places of shame. And people lived in total fear of falling from honor to shame. Thinking about honor and shame, think about those things that give us and our lives worth. Think about what we want people to know about us. Think about your Facebook page, right? Like, what do you want? What is the thing that you post on Instagram, that you put on Facebook, that you, the face that you want? I mean, I know that I like to take 8 selfies and then post one of them because you got to scroll through. Oh no, I look awful there. That's a little bit of that honor and shame culture. So Jesus says, let's do this honor stuff differently. And what if we, follow Jesus and we do it differently? What if we shift the meaning of honor, not as something that is earned, but as something that we give, something that we do, something that we can create in this world? Jesus shows us physically what it means to honor. Honor as a verb. And we honor those who came before us. In this passage we heard, one of the many things that gets misinterpreted and misunderstood in reading the Bible is this concept of turning the other cheek, of loving those who hate you. It is good to love people. And some people, it's good to love from a safe distance, right? When we turn the other cheek, that phrase, turn the other cheek, that does not mean sign yourself up for more abuse when you're in an abusive situation. And again and again and again, Christians have gotten this wrong. We think that in the name of Christ, in the name of compassion, in the name of love, that we have no right but to be victimized again and again. Jesus is calling us to turn the other cheek, and what that meant in this context, they would have been talking about getting smacked with the back of the hand. He says, turn the other cheek so that you are looking this person square in the eye. They would smack with the back of the hand to someone who is lower than them. But if you are fighting with someone who is your equal, physically fighting, that requires looking face to face and punching. So yes, in a way, Jesus is saying, let them punch you in the face. But what he's saying is force them to see you as their equal even after they have smacked you. Now that is something. It's not about whether or not you fight. It is about force the person who is trying to tear you down to see you as their equal. Claim your honor. Honor those who came before you. Honor those who taught you to be brave. This idea of if someone asks for your coat, take off the shirt too. This is about nakedness. This is about a culture in which viewing a naked person is more shameful than being the naked person. And we talked about tax collectors last week. If the tax collector says, I'm taking that coat from you, you say, take it all. Please don't demonstrate right now. But again, it's not literally about taking off your clothing. It's about saying that you have the power of your own self, your own body, your own physical empowerment to say that you cannot take away my dignity. And even if we have to strip naked to prove it, don't do it, they cannot take away our dignity. So what is stolen from us is just stuff. It's just a coat. But even with that smack, our dignity cannot be taken away. Christ is calling us to demand our power, demand who we are called to be, or don't let him take it in the first place. Know that you are worth it. Know that you are worth standing up for yourself. And when Christ says, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation, you have not done anything wrong if you're a rich person. What is wrong about having great resources is if you are greatly and boastfully enjoying those resources while ignoring those who do not have them. And woe to you who are full now. If you had a great breakfast this morning, you're not in trouble with Jesus. Maybe in trouble with me if you fall asleep, but you're not in trouble with Jesus. But with the problem with those who are full now, who have full bellies, are those who are hungry being ignored. So yes, we can rejoice and we can eat and we can celebrate. And Christ is saying that we also have to recognize that those who come through these doors on Wednesdays looking for food, those who call here almost every single day, we get calls of people asking for money and resources and food, that even when we don't have what they need, we can't write the check to pay their rent, we can still see them as 100% equal to us. Because if we don't, then we already have our reward. Our reward is that we get to feel smug, but that reward is terrible. So let's not enjoy that smugness reward. Instead, let's find a different kind of joy. Let's find a different kind of blessing. Let's find a different way of being in this world that isn't beholden to honor and shame and trying to prove that we're better than someone else so we can trample on them just to feel a little bit better about ourselves. Because what we know, those of us who have made that mistake of believing we're better than someone else, is that it never feels good when we're there. When our power is taken, Jesus says to take it back. We are called to take it back. Last year on All Saints Day, I remember thinking similar thoughts of, like, how do we honor the people we love? And not knowing who we would be honoring this year. And within 2 months of All Saints Day last year, two people very close to me, one of whom was a longtime person in this congregation, died by suicide. How do we honor the people who have chosen to check out early? Having no idea that Fig was celebrating that anniversary of surviving, he gives us a great example of how we honor even those who we are so mad at for abandoning us. And how do we honor those who fought the good fight over there at Moffitt on Gay Pride Day as we sat there with Mike? How do we honor them? I can't even look at my brother Angel, who lost his heart, his grandma this year. Man, we have a job to do. We lost a lot of grandmas this year. We have a job to do in this congregation. Dawn, your grandma was a blessing. And she taught us how to love, and she taught us how to play bingo, too. So, we're all going to cry together, and it's all right. But what we are going to do after we're done crying is we are going to honor them. Because even those who we lost in a tragic way loved us deeply, even when they couldn't hold on anymore. And we will honor them by loving ourselves enough that none of us need to take that route out. And we will love ourselves enough that someone will be preaching a sermon one day and crying because we loved them so well. Man, we're good at this love stuff. But let's remember that all this honor and shame thing, we can turn it on its head. We can move on from it. All that matters is that we love each other. And we got to love ourselves first. We will hold each other through it, no matter what it is. No matter what. To my beloveds in this room who have survived another year on this planet, living and becoming more of yourself every day. Thank you for honoring all of those people who made you who you are. Thank you for the courage to be exactly who you need to be. Let's continue to honor so many who we love, so many who have taught us about love, so many who have taught us what community means, because that is what Jesus is talking about. As he tells us that as we weep now, we will in the future get a chance to laugh. Not far away after pie in the sky when you die stuff. I'm talking about grieve deeply now. And then fill your heart with all of that love that you feel like you're missing. You're not missing it. You're just being called to give it away. Amen.